We've been studying the acronym TULIP, and I want to preach this morning on the last letter of that acronym, the P, perseverance. Now, there's many that have been taught the 5 points that are not saved. Many have learned those 5 points. They were baptized. They joined the church. And then one day God revealed Christ to them. Salvation is knowing Jesus Christ the Lord. It's not knowing these 5 points. So why preach these? Well, it's through preaching that glorifies Christ that Christ is going to reveal himself in his people. And so we preach this gospel, and this is the gospel. And that's my prayer for you. I don't want you just to learn these 5 points as 5 points. I want you to learn Christ. If you know him, this doctrine will get its light from Christ, and it will redound to his glory. And that's what I desire for you. The subject is perseverance by preservation. Perseverance by preservation. Those born of God to believe on Christ shall persevere in faith to the end because we are preserved by the power of God. Scripture says, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, unto destruction, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now I want to show you that believers are preserved and persevere because it's God's word, it's his promise. We do so by God's Son, Christ Jesus, and we do so by God's character, according to God's character. Now, all God's saints shall be preserved to persevere because God declares it in his word. It's all through the word of God. And we're going to persevere and be preserved because God's promised it. He's promised this of his people. We read here in 1 Peter 1:5, it says, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God's word, all through the word, makes this same declaration. His people are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, it's by God's power. We don't persevere by our power. There's a lot who teach that. They say, you know, you have to be strong in your faith, and it's by your strength that you persevere. Brother Donnie Bell used to say that whenever he was in Pentecostalism, they taught them that it's by their strength that they persevere, and they were so cocky about it. He said we was confident enough we could swing across hell on a rotten grapevine and spit in the devil's eye. But it's not our strength. It's not by us at all. A.W. Pink said that for a believer to go through this life, persevering in faith is a miracle, more of a miracle than if a man was to carry a lit candle across an open bay in the midst of a hurricane and keep that candle lit. It's that much of a miracle. This is a miracle that God's people will go through this world believing on Christ and persevere in faith until the end. It's a miracle of God's grace. We read here, we're kept by the power of God. That word power, we sing the song, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never ceasing. You picture a mighty fortress walled up to heaven, and believers safe inside that mighty fortress. This word power, that's the meaning here, is of a fortress. By the power of God, like a mighty fortress, we're kept by the power of God. We're kept through faith. Not by our works. We're not to look to ourselves. We're not to depend on ourselves. We're kept through faith in Christ alone. looking to Christ alone, and will be kept unto the end. It says salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. There's nothing else. We're not here persevering in faith because there's something else we need to do to make salvation be complete. Salvation's ready. Christ has finished it. We're complete in Christ, and He's completed our salvation. It's ready. And so God's going to keep us by His power through faith in Christ to the end for that, so we can enjoy that salvation. Now, believer, that means your heart shouldn't be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God's promise, He's going to keep us. He's going to keep us. We're going to stay on Christ by His power. Go over to Psalm 94. I just want to show you, it's all through the Word of God, and I could go, we could be here all day looking in the Scriptures. It's in the Word so much, but we're just going to look at a few Scriptures. Psalm 94, 14. He says here, we're going to persevere in faith to the end because God promises us by His Word that He won't forsake His people. Psalm 94, 14, the Lord will not cast off His people, neither will He forsake His inheritance. The Lord won't leave His people. He will not. Now that's God's promise. That's His Word. He will not forsake His people. We're His inheritance. We're His inheritance. And so He won't forsake His inheritance. You look at Psalm 125. You think of a mighty mountain. Strong, big, strong mountain, and how it cannot be moved. Look at what God says. Psalm 125, 1. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. How are we going to abide forever? Like a mountain. What's going to make us that strong? Verse 2, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, even forever. He promises us He will never cast us off. He'll never forsake us. He promises us He's round about His people forever. Go over to Zechariah chapter 2. I was out hunting one night in the woods, and we had some dogs, and we were coon hunting. And I was out in the woods, and I listened to these dogs run, and I scratched my eye. And I walked into something, scratched my eye. And it hurt so badly. And I couldn't hardly get out of the woods because I couldn't see. It hurt so bad. That pupil of your eye, that aperture of your eye, It's the aperture, and it's where the word came from, the apple of your eye. Shakespeare was the first person to coin that phrase, the apple of the eye. But listen to how the translators translated this word into our English right here, Zechariah 2:8. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath He sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of His eye. He's going to protect us just like that. You protect that apple of your eye. That's how He protects His people. Now we could go on and on through the Word. On and on. Psalm 121:7, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth even forevermore. We could go on and on. It's all through God's Word. So by His Word, we have the promise God will preserve His people. Now, sinner, you're sitting here without Christ. This is only true of those who believe on Christ. Those that you have to begin in faith and begin trusting Christ and continue trusting Christ to the end. This is true of those that begin in faith. Don't try to save yourself by your works. Come to Christ and trust Christ to save you by His works. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for that one's sake, for Christ, for his sake, for the sake of that one that trusts him, Christ said he'll preserve his life. Christ will preserve him. He'll keep him. So believe on Christ, and you that believe him, continue believing him. Let me give you one more scripture in Colossians. Colossians, it says in verse 1, it says, verse 22, it says, he's going to present us holy and unblameable, unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. See, that is, it's not just starting in faith, it's continuing in faith, finishing in faith. Now, here's the second thing. Go to John chapter 6. All God's saints shall be preserved so that we persevere by God's Son, by Christ Jesus and what he's done for us, and what he shall do for us. Look here in John 6 in verse 37. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. Now here's why he's going to preserve his people. It's the will of his Father. Look here. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Look down at verse 58. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Forever. How could he promise we shall live forever if one were to perish? He won't allow it. It's the will of the Father that Christ lose not one of his elect that God gave to his Son. That's the will of the Father, and Christ will not lose one. Now go to your right to John 10, and here's why he won't. Here's why he won't lose one. It's because we've been redeemed by Christ. We're going to begin in faith by Christ, and we're going to continue to the end in faith by Christ. Look here in John 10:14. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep, he said, and am known of mine. And he said, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. Christ laid his life down for the exact number of sheep, the exact number of the elect that the Father gave him. No more, no less. The exact number the Father gave him, Christ laid down his life for the sheep. You'll hear, you'll come across people and they'll make a statement, and I always get this backwards, but it's something like Christ's blood is efficient to save everyone, but sufficient to save the elect. Let's keep it simple. Christ died for the sheep. That's who he saves. He died for the sheep. There's no efficient to save everyone and sufficient to save some. He laid down his life for his elect. That's who he laid down his life for. Why did he lay down his life for them? Well, the justice of God demanded we die. It demanded we die. And so he took our place. He took the place of the sheep. When he says there, I lay down my life for the sheep. The justice of God demands a life. The soul that sinneth must die. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep in place of the sheep. That's called substitution. Laying down his life in place of the sheep. What did he accomplish by that? Well, by laying down his life for the sheep, he redeemed us from the curse of the law. He redeemed us from the curse. The curse of the law is the condemnation of the law. He redeemed us from it. He paid the ransom price and redeemed us from the curse of the law so that there's now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He laid down his life for the sheep. He put away our sins. He brought in everlasting righteousness for the sheep. That's who he did it for the sheep. And so by laying down his life, he purchased these sheep. They're his. All his people are his purchased possession. And so Christ is going to call his sheep because he redeemed them and he bought them and he paid their sin debt and he justified us. He's going to call each and every one of his sheep. Look at verse 24. It says here, then came the Jews round about him, and they said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? It's always with sinners, especially religious sinners, they blame the Lord here. See how they blame the Lord? It's the Lord's fault. Why do you make us to doubt? Why do it's your fault. Why are you making us to doubt? Yeah, they'll hear you preach the gospel and they'll, how come we can't understand what you're saying? Why do you make us to doubt? Look at what the Lord said. Why didn't they believe? He said, if thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Christ says plainly to them right here, the reason that some do not believe is because they're not the sheep. That's the reason they don't believe. They're not the sheep. If you listen to religion, Christ is trying to call everybody. He's trying to call everybody, and people just won't let him have his way. That's not this Christ. That's not the Christ of the Bible. The Christ of the Bible is not trying to call all sinners because he did not lay down his life for all sinners. Because not all sinners are his sheep. Not all sinners are the elect. See what he says there? The reason you don't believe, because you're not of my sheep. He wasn't trying to call them. He wasn't trying to call them. He doesn't try to do anything. He succeeds. If he was calling them, they'd come. And that's what he says next. Look here. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. See? He's only calling those that he laid down his life for. He redeemed us. He justified us. He brought in an everlasting righteousness for us. But we're dead in sins. And we can't believe on him unless he comes to us and calls us and gives us faith to begin in faith. To start out believing on him. And here's what he does. He says, my sheep, that's those he justified by his blood. He comes to where we are and he says, my sheep hear my voice. He calls his sheep through the preaching of this word and he makes us hear his voice. He makes us hear his voice effectually. He says there, I know my sheep. By Christ knowing his people, by him knowing us, he knows us in power. And his knowing us, him knowing us in power is what brings us to believe on him. He's saying here that his people are loved by him with an everlasting love, which has been manifested in their conversion in him drawing them to himself. For whom he did foreknow, whom he did foreordain, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And Paul told those Galatians, they were going around and trying to go back to the law, and he said, now that you know God, or rather, now that you are known of God. Well, didn't God know his people from eternity? How did he say, now that you're known of God? There's a knowing that takes place when Christ calls his people. It's a knowing that is done in power, whereby he enters in and gives you life, and that's how you hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and here's the result. They follow me. They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. That's always the order. Christ come, and he calls his sheep. He makes his sheep hear his voice, and he knows us experimentally. He knows us effectually. He knows us in power. And when he does, his sheep follow him. You follow him in faith, and he gives you eternal life. That's always what takes place. So now listen to his promise. Last part of verse 28. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That same power that redeemed us calls us, and that same power that calls us keeps us. And we're going to continue to the end in faith. We'll never perish. He said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. Let me tell you the hand we're talking about. Isaiah 40:12 says that he's measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. The hollow of the hand is that little cup right there. Not the whole hand, just that little cup right there. He said he's measured the waters that are in heaven and in earth and in the seas and the rivers and all places, the waters he created, he said he's able to hold them right there in that little cup of his hand. And he said that's the hand that's got his people. It's holding his people, and no man's going to pluck them out of his hand. That's a big hand. That's a powerful hand. That's how secure his people are in him, and that's why we will not fall away. Now, let's look at the last thing here. All God's saints shall be preserved to persevere because of God's character. First of all, it's all through God's word. He tells us all through his word. And secondly, it's because what Christ has done for us. It's God's will that Christ lose none. Christ has redeemed us. He's justified us. Christ has called us. And Christ is keeping us. And his hand is going to keep us safe and secure because he's justified us. He can't lose one now. This is the Father's will. But now thirdly, his character. The character of God demands we be saved. And I'll show you what I mean. Go to Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. God's immutable and he cannot lie. It means God does not change and God cannot lie. That's his character. So this guarantees us whatever God promises us is true, and it's going to come to pass. God does not change, and he cannot lie. Jeremiah 32, verse 37. Now here are seven promises that God makes to his elect concerning the everlasting covenant. Watch this. Jeremiah 32, verse 37. He says, behold, here's the first promise. I will gather them out of all countries, whether I've driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath. There's the first promise. I'm going to gather them. And I will bring them again unto this place. The place he brings us to is Christ. He brings us to faith in Christ. He brings us to his fold, wherever his local church is, that he'd have us to be assembled, and he fitly frames us there. Scripture says Christ cements us there. He compacts us together, cements us there. unites us in unity of the faith and unity of the Spirit. He brings us to the place He'd have us to dwell in Christ, in the universal church. We're in His church, but He's going to bring you to His local church and plant you there with His people under His gospel, under the minister He's provided. Read Ephesians 4, tells you all about. He provides the preacher, He provides His people, He fitly frames us together, unites us in the bond of the Spirit. This is what God promised. Now, look here, here's the third promise. I will cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be my people. Here's the fourth one. Here's the fourth one. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Here's the fifth one. I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. Here's the sixth promise. I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good. I will not turn away from them to do them good, God said. But I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. And here's the seventh. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. Seven promises of God that cannot lie and God who changes not. His character demand. We're going to be preserved because God can't lie. That's His promise to His people. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Well, the love of God. Look at Jeremiah 31. Now look at verse 3. The love of God, it's everlasting love. And that guarantees us that we will not fall away. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I asked the kids Friday night. Here they are, all these young ones sitting there. I said, what does everlasting love mean? They said, it don't ever end. It really means it has no beginning and it has no end. And that's God's love. That's how He loves. That's why Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. He said, I'm persuaded nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Whoever God first loved, He always loves. He doesn't love you today and then something happened and He starts hating you. He loves His people in Christ Jesus the Lord. That's where He loves. That's the only place He loves is in Christ. And He never stops loving. I'm going to preach on these questions here soon, but I'll just give you one of them right now. If God loves everybody and He's trying to save everybody and yet some are perishing, then tell me what the love of God has to do with salvation. Who God loves, God saves. That's fact. Because His love's everlasting love. All right, the faithfulness of God. Go to 2 Thessalonians. The faithfulness of God. This is God's character. He's unchangeable. He cannot lie. God loves everlastingly. And He's faithful. He's faithful. And this guarantees we're going to be preserved. And we're going to continue in faith. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look at verse 3. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. See, the Lord is faithful. He will keep His people from evil. We have confidence, Paul said, in the Lord. And He's going to make you do, and that you will do the things we command you. We saw in 1 John what God works in his people, what his love works in his people. The love of God directs our hearts to obey the gospel. He makes us believe on Christ and continue in Christ because that's what he commands us. He makes us abide in the doctrine of Christ in truth. That's what he commands us. And he makes us love our brethren and continue together with one another, being fellow helpers of the truth. This is how God's going to save. So he brings us together to be fellow helpers, to send this gospel out, to save others through it too. This is what Paul said. You go back and you can read 1 and 2 Thessalonians and read all these commands God gives, and it's summed up in this. Keep yourselves together and love one another and be fellow helpers to send this gospel forth. That's the sum and substance of it. And he said, God's faithful. He's going to keep you from evil. He's going to keep you doing these things we've told you. And you're not going to perish. So that's how we know we're going to persevere. We're going to continue in faith. He said in 1 Corinthians 1:8, God shall also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you're called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. If he let one saint, if he just let one of his saints forsake the assembly where he planted us, leave the gospel altogether, leave Christ altogether, if he allowed one of his people to do this, then it would be his character that would be blemished. It would be his character that would be blemished. And God will not allow it. This is the character of God. We're kept by God's very character. Now that's security. The mercy of the Lord's from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. He calls us into the unity of the faith. What's the unity of the faith? It has all this that we've been hearing. It's got all this in common. It's through Christ's blood. It's by God's power. It's by him, his character. He brings us to unite us in the unity of the Spirit. And he tells you now forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. I think about the church in Arkansas. And our church has been together for close to 50 years now. And it's like the church in the wilderness. He calls us together. And Caleb started out believing, and they went through all that trouble and all their trials, and they just kept going through that wilderness. And they look into that cloud, look into that fire, look into Christ, and we go through this wilderness, and God keeps us. And some fell away. A lot fell away in Israel. But you know who was there at the end and went right into the land of promise? Caleb, the faithful dog. He was right there and went right in at the end. And that's what all God's people are going to do. He will not lose one. Philippians 1:6 says, we're confident of this very thing. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is why whenever Christ asked his apostles, will you go away? You going to go away too? This is why they said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Kept by the power of God. Let's thank him. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you that you don't leave this thing just up to us, that you give us faith and you keep us. We're thankful, Lord, that it's according to your word. We're thankful, Lord, that it's through the blood of Christ, by his fulfilling your will for your people. We're thankful, Father, that it's according to your character. Lord, remind us of these things when we're troubled and when we waver and would become weak and fall aside. Strengthen us with this truth and preserve us by your almighty hand. Help us now to worship. Help us to truly enter into this and worship you. And help us now in this second hour, Lord, to praise you, to honor you, to truly, truly bow to your word and worship you. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.